What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got the big boy, Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show. Me and him don't see eye to eye on much, but we agreed on this during the break. Often I include Mulsey and Mall Cop Paul Blart in my intermission songs here at The Fan, and was shocked and heartened to hear you say that Paul Blart Mall Cop you feel like is an underrated movie. So do I, big boy.
You know where I saw that at the first time?
Huh.
During the off day at Super Bowl 43 in Tampa. I'm like, I got nothing to do. So I walked across the street, went to the old movie theater and watched Paul Blart.
I think it's funny. I think the movie's funny. Don't you?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. I've never watched Paul Blart too.
Hold on. I think we're burying the lead here.
Yeah.
Cabali was covering the Super Bowl with everything to do there, and he decided to go watch the movie, Paul Blart Mall Cop?
Yeah.
It was like Friday afternoon or something.
We're at the Super Bowl, Mark. They're probably like,
it was
so
Friday afternoon. What did you want me to do? I already, you know what they say about Tampa. I already went to those establishments.
Oh, my.
So there was something else to do.
This reminds me of, well, forget it. Nobody cares. Let's talk about podcasts. Why don't we? You told me that Ross Tucker said on a podcast that the best high school athlete he ever saw was Terrell Pryor. Who's the best high school athlete you ever saw? And I know you covered high school sports for a long time.
Yeah. You know, I saw Terrell Pryor a number of times, basketball and football. He would be up there, but my exposure is very limited to the Mon Valley area, so I will stick with those people more than anything else.
And
I loved a guy like Lucas Nix, offensive lineman for Thomas Jefferson. Unbelievable, just unbelievable player. He would just dominate games as a guard. Elijah Fields from Duquesne. The defunct Duquesne High School, unstoppable.
Used to light people up, yes.
Cecil Howard, McKeesport. You know, those are very – he went to Syracuse. Some of those guys, I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of other ones as well. So I would probably say the most dynamic guy I ever saw was Elijah Fields at Duquesne.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. He was an incredibly explosive athlete. For me, it's easy. And it's LeVar Arrington. You ever see the clips of Andy Reid at the punt, pass, and kick when he was a kid? And he was literally twice the size of everybody. That was LeVar on a pitch out at North Hills. And kids who were up to his knees were trying to tackle him. It was literally a man against boys. I've never seen anything like it.
I would be remiss to not mention Tyler Boyd, too. He was on a different level as well.
Yeah.
At Clark.
I saw and covered a game, a Whipple championship game at Heinz Field, then known as Heinz Field, with Terrell Pryor, and I was on the field. I did a story that day for the Trib that was about the referees. So I was in the, you know, it was like, what's it like to referee a big game? I went to their meeting before the game, and then I went out on the field, and I was like at the line of scrimmage for some plays when they were putting the ball down. I was on the field watching him play, and that was quite a perspective because sort of like LeVar, it was almost laughable watching him against those dudes.
You know, another thing, Joe, I think he is a little bit undervalued of what he did in the NFL. Not too many times you see a guy be able to make a transition from a quarterback to a 1,000-yard receiver in the NFL like Pryor did. From Oakland to Cleveland. He was a pretty doggone good receiver in the NFL for a couple years as well. Imagine if he was basically Justin, what's it, not, what's, Travis Hunter. I always want to say Hunter. Travis Hunter before Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
That's how good he was.
You're right about that. It's so underrated that I had forgotten about it. He went in Cleveland in 2016. He caught 77 passes for 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's got to be one of the most underrated seasons in NFL history. I'm dead serious about that. He had 50 first downs that year.
Yep.
What a great observation by you.
He was a quarterback, what, the year prior or 2 years prior to that?
Yes, no pun intended. Or perhaps there was a pun intended. I don't know, but that's incredible.
Imagine the NIL money he would have got at Ohio State.
Oh, he could have had all the tattoos he wanted.
Wow, you talk about a guy born about 10 years too late.
He could have run his own tattoo parlor, for God's sakes. I know.
Too early.
He got jerked around in a bad way. How does he get penalized in the NFL for something that happened in college? Isn't that what the story was? Yeah.
Got free tattoos. No, I think he traded a tattoo for a ring or something like that.
Something like that.
But it was a tattoo.
Ridiculous.
Now they're getting paid $9 million like Quinn Ewers.
Right. But you go back to John Wooden's UCLA teams, and they were handing the guys stereos and plane tickets and crap like that. And even when it came out in the LA Times years later, nobody paid any attention to it. Anyway, I'm going to get off my soapbox. There's another podcast that you do with Chris Mack. And you had Mason Rudolph on?
Mason Rudolph.
This is incredible. Did you have his number, or how did you get a hold of him?
Come on, man. I'm a veteran. I'm savvy old news hound, right, Joe?
Savvy old news hound.
Old news hound. So you text Mason and say, will you come on the podcast? The Steelers PR department?
Well, put it this way. When he signed here, I reached out to him, and he said, wait till closer to start of OTAs.
Yeah.
And I haven't reached out yet since, and he just reached out and said, I'm ready to do it. I'm like, yippee, let's roll. So he actually reached back out to me. So nice half hour conversation. Mason is very careful what he says from time to time, but you can read a bunch of stuff into that. And I think he's a well-liked guy in this city now, which is another crazy story when you think about it.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy that persevered. He didn't go take his ball and go home. And I think people in this city like that.
What was the most notable thing he said?
Well, he pretty much knows that by the salary that he's getting paid, that he doesn't have much of a shot if some other guy comes in here, you know.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers, he knows he's number two on the depth chart.
Yeah,
so there's
of course.
No worried about that.
If Aaron Rodgers came here and they even hinted to him that he was in a competition, he would be gone to like Tanzania in 5 seconds.
Yeah, but in Mason Rudolph's, in his way he looks at it is, you got a 41-year-old quarterback that, it might be difficult for him to get through 17 games. So where else do you have a chance to go and potentially be a starter for 6, 8, 12 games? So that's what interests him to coming back here. Plus, hey, he gets a real, and you might want to rip on Arthur Smith, a real coordinator for maybe the first time in his life in Pittsburgh. Remind you, he had Matt Canada and old nipple rubber before that. So
old nipple rubber.
Randy Fichtner, nipple rubber.
Maybe Artie will design some plays to Cordero Patterson for Mason, you think?
I'm shocked he's still on the roster.
So am I. How is that possible? What is happening?
No idea.
I don't know.
Is there some contractual thing there? How is that possible?
I mean, there's no room for him at running back. There's no room for him at punt or kick returner, unless they're moving him back to a depth wide receiver.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we won't see him the next 2 weeks because he wasn't here last year during OTAs.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Did anybody weigh in limits on the text line when Malzi, in what I thought was one of the most beautiful moments in fan history, reached out to you because you're suffering from the disease that he's named for, which is trying to know too much. And he actually came in here and gave you a hat. Did anybody reach out on the text line?
Very nice. Very nice of him. Yes. That one of the texters said, it's okay, limits. I know a good therapist for early onset Malzi disease. Another texter said, "Looks great, Limits. Don't let them fool you, bud. You are the backbone of the show."
I agree with that. You are the backbone of the show. Mark, it's hard not to be moved by that Malzi moment, wasn't it? You witnessed it. I feel happy for you.
The question is, who gave that hat originally to Malzi?
That's a great question.
And
that's,
there's also a frequent City Limits hater on the text line that said, "I'll weigh in. Mute yourself, Limits." So this texter texts in all the time and is a big Limits hater.
I'll tell you this, big boy. This kid sitting right in here, he takes all the slings and arrows and he keeps coming back. He doesn't care. And that's one of the things I love about him. He's self-deprecating. He's smart. And he's funny. I like him.
We can only get him to admit when he doesn't know something.
Yeah. Right? I mean, that's the last stage here.
Hey, if that's the one thing that I have to improve on to get to where I got to be, then all right, we're on that train. Let's jump on the moving train here.
The fan. Hey,
was that texter the text in named Jack Hillgrove?
That's funny. He did a good show the other day.
That's funny, Mark, because Jack Hillgrove and I, years ago, we really feuded with each other in high school because we played volleyball on the same team.
Yeah.
We played the same position. We're both left-handed and we're both interested in a lot of the same things. And it took until literally Jack's senior year, my sophomore year, the last like month of the volleyball season, to the point where Jack basically said like, "Hey man, I've been tough on you. I'm sorry. I see like some similarities in you that I see in me." And I said the same to Jack, and we came to a nice little truce, and we've been friends ever since. And our friendship has flourished over the last year. It's been blossoming.
What a beautiful story. Are you two plotting to overthrow Pomp and I and become the Limits and Hillgrove show?
No. And that's not Malzi disease.
Fan hotline presented by...
We're one happy family that should all be together.
Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The big boy is on that right now. Plus, he's on YouTube. Go to our station, 93.7thefan.com website, and get on YouTube. You can take a look at the big boy for yourself. The second annual Fan 5-Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. June 5th and 6th at Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. Donate now at 93.7thefan.com to help your local volunteer fire departments in our area. Brought to you by Cintas, True Green, Don's Appliances, and Hampton Beer Outlet. Lastly, big boy, your thoughts on flag football at the Olympics. And if the Steelers could only send one guy, and it looks like every team will have the opportunity to do that, who would it be? Why is he mute? Go ahead, sir.
I couldn't hear you. I heard flag football.
Yeah. Who should the Steelers send, and what do you think of flag football at the Olympics?
So, first of all, I think there's two questions there. Flag football, I guess it's interesting to see. Number two is I'll pick a Steeler from now, even though that might not apply 3 years from now when it is officially an Olympic sport. I think Calvin Austin would be a heck of a flag football guy.
Mm.
Got that 4.19 speed or 4.2 speed.
You're right about that. And if Chase Claypool plays for Canada, does he do a first down celebration while they're doing a last minute drive to win the gold medal?
Better yet is, what about your buddy Al? Who would he play for? Would he play for Germany?
I think. Isn't Al Spanish? He would play for Spain, I think.
Well, wasn't he born on Air Force Base? I guess that makes sense.
He might be eligible for various. Can you imagine Al just throwing him jump balls
especially
in the end zone? He was a tight end at
especially
Army.
No.
Yes.
He's about 175 now, right?
I am absolutely texting Al after the show to see if he's going to play flag football in the Olympics.
How about this?
He's 6'9", and he played tight end at Army.
What about putting Taco Fall from the NBA at 7'6" on the flag football team and just have him stand in the end zone?
That's not a bad idea. Mark, I was talking to Chris Curd, former Pitt receiver. I think he was a receiver. He runs a lot of flag football around here. It's 5-on-5. He was telling me that for a pass rusher, you're not looking for T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett because there's no blockers. You're looking for... He said you might see some Olympic sprinters in the flag football because they start 7 yards behind the line, and the idea is to get from there to the quarterback, who can't run, by the way. He can't run past the line of scrimmage, as quickly as you can. So you could see, is it Noah Lyles? Is that the fastest guy in America?
Yes.
Somebody like that could be a great pass rusher.
Yeah, my only exposure to flag football was this spring, and it was 8 and under, kindergarten first and second.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know that they weren't very fast. They couldn't throw the ball, so I'm not quite sure what the rules are, Joe. But my kid was the center, which tells you his athletic ability at age 8.
Limits was obsessed with the center position earlier. He thought Zach Fraser should be on the team. He didn't realize that the center snaps it and then runs out for a pass. So there's no offensive line.
Why can't Zach Fraser run out for a pass?
He could, I suppose. Thank you, big boy.
Well, I think there's different rules where you short a quarterback can't.
Positive.
Run
I've looked
the
up
ball.
All the rules.
If he gets,
I've
they
talked
hand
to
it off twice. No, or...
then he can. Yeah. If you do a quick snap and then someone laterals it back to the quarterback, then he can do whatever he wants. But he can't scramble even if he's rushed, if he receives the snap.
Listen, my kid plays for TJ Youth Flag Football League, and one of the coaches on the team is none other than LaRod Stevens Howling.
Oh!
So I would throw his name in as the Team USA coach right now. What do you think?
Well, no. Well, yes, maybe. But here's what I want you to do, if you could, is text Limits that number. Thank you. Bye, big boy.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Bye, Mark.
Is he gone?
50, yeah, he's gone.
We're not coming up on the 50-minute mark, are we?
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Social Media's Biggest Loser, brought to you by Awaken 180. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. I mean, technically social media, however you want to say it here. I'm reading about it on social media, and every team that voted against the tush push is a loser. And that would include the Steelers, the big, bad, physical Steeler DNA vote against the tush push. Are you blanking kidding me? Now, the tush push passed, actually, because not enough teams voted against it.
Right.
But Pony came in and informed me that 22 teams voted against it, including the Steelers, the team that got the football shoved down their throats for 10 and a half minutes at the end of the Eagles game. You'd think the Pittsburgh Steelers would admire something like that and not vote to reject it. Come on.
Yeah, and they needed to get 24, so they were just short of it. So the tush push gets to stay. Philadelphia gets
Good.
To keep it.
Good.
I agree. I'd rather have the tush push stay, in effect. Philadelphia mastered it. Good for them. Don't punish.
Find a way to stop it. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that the Steelers voted against
There's
that.
Another rule change that has passed that I think is just hilarious from
what?
Diana Russini.
Yeah.
The owners have passed a rule change that would allow teams to declare onside kicks at any point during a game if they're trailing, but they will be kicked from the 34-yard line instead of the 35-yard line.
That's a gigantic rule,
Huge.
Isn't it? Boy, that sure does cut down on the old surprise onside, but that rule was already in last year. At least the part of declaring it in the name of player safety, right? So, yeah, we'll play 3 games in 11 days around Christmas. We'd love for you to play 20 games, but darn it, we'll protect you guys on onside kicks. What a joke. What's cooking brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
You're welcome. 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Weather, cloudy, 40% chance of rain during this Pirate game. So if you're still on your way, bring a jacket. High of 70. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. You're also missing yet another pitcher's duel. Big surprise there. Heaney is throwing a whale of a game again, and it's 1-1 in the fourth inning. Is this the day they snap their streak of 25 straight games not getting to 5 runs? I still think they will. I think there's a grand slam by O'Neill Cruz in the offing here, O Limitless Wonder.
I don't. I predicted a 3-2 victory for the Pirates, and they take the series, but I do not think that they get to 5 runs in the game.
I'll tell you who could grow on me in a hurry is the Spencer Horwitz. He really could.
Why's that?
Because he's hitting 300 already.
Well, that helps.
I know it's a small sample size.
I didn't say that it wasn't.
I thought you were.
Nope.
I know.
Yeah, he has.
And then
he's
just
pretty well, and he's fine defensively. We knew he would come in as a contact hitter, gap to gap power guy, not really a big over the fence type of hitter.
No, but he just had another good at bat where he hit what could have been a hit, and the center fielder made a nice play. He could grow on me. That's all I'm saying.
So you're keeping an open mind to Spencer
Horowitz. I'm keeping an open mind.
Me too. I'll keep an open
mind. Which you're not doing on Will Howard. You don't even have an open mind on Will Howard, and you want him to fail.
I do not want him to fail. My mind is starting to open to Will Howard, but just a little crack, because I do think that I was maybe a little bit too hard saying that I don't have an open mind because I didn't fully understand the full extent of what was being determined as an open mind. So, yeah.
What?
Basically, what I mean is, when you say, do you have an open mind that
yes.
Howard can be the guy?
Sure.
Basically, I don't think that it's like at all possible. But sure, I'll keep it in the back of my mind like that there's a Brock Purdy type of situation.
How about that Reds pitcher last night who was rocking up and down on the mound? Did you see that, Limits?
I think I might have missed that. Adam Frazier gets a hit. There you go. Buccos, ducks on the pond.
Ducks on the pond for the Buccos.
T. Brian Hayes hustling to third.
How about that? A three-run. There's nobody out, Limits. And a three-run homer right here gets them to four runs immediately.
Yes, it would. So,
I think it's
going
to happen. Is O'Neill Cruz up now? What's the batting order today? This is going to happen today. Mark my words.
Let me pull it up for you. So Adam Frazier for the Buccos is currently in the seventh spot. So guess who's batting now, Joe? Take a guess.
Jared Tree?
No, he is not in the order today.
Is
he
Tree?
Even worse. Look
Jared
who's batting.
Who?
Look who's batting. Tommy Pham. But he's one for one today. Tommy already has a hit.
That raised his average by 90 points every hit. I predict he's going to strike
190
out.
190 now.
You think he'll get to 200 today, Limits? You think he'll get his first homer today?
No.
He hasn't had an
RBI since the eighth grade picnic.
No.
That's my dad's favorite joke, saying something hasn't happened since the eighth grade picnic or Saney's eighth
grade. Yeah, why
grade.
Isn't it ever the seventh grade picnic? Why did everybody choose eighth grade?
Well, because you graduate in eighth grade and you move on to high school.
Some people do. Some people don't. We didn't graduate till ninth grade.
What?
Yeah. Amherst Junior High School was grade 7 through 9. There was no eighth grade graduation.
So the middle school went till ninth grade when you were a freshman? Technically?
Yes. It wasn't a middle school. It was junior high school.
So was there no freshman class?
Yes, there was a freshman class. They were in ninth grade.
You just didn't call them that.
I don't know what we called ourselves. We went to elementary school through sixth grade.
Okay.
Then we all melded into Amherst Junior High.
So that was 7th, 8th, and 9th.
That's when I became afraid of girls and when my best friend Tom Cusimano abandoned me.
Interesting.
Then it was Amherst Junior High School, grades 7, 8, and 9. Then we moved to a different building, and it was 10, 11, and 12. There was no ceremony.
Was that called the senior high school?
Yes, it was. I have to go.
We have to go.
Tomorrow we have Chris Curd in studio talking flag football. What else do we have?
We have Tyler Kennedy to start off the show.
And he might have a treat for us.
It's possible. And we also have Jeff Hathorn.
Bye.
See you tomorrow.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.